In these weeks, we have been looking at Jesus and specifically looking at some of the things that Jesus said about himself. We've been asking the question, who does Jesus think he is? We've been looking at the I Am sayings in the Gospel of John to answer this question. And we are finding, I hope and pray, that Jesus is the man who revealed God by revealing himself. Last week, we talked about what I call kind of the surprise thing that Jesus said to his disciples when he said that he was the door through which people had to go to get to God, to get to the blessings that God wants to give them, the eternal blessings of eternal life. He's the door of the sheep. The sheep come through me. Good shepherds come through me. Bit of a surprise, kind of an amazing claim that Jesus is making. I also said last week that he said something else that was more expected, at least more expected of somebody who stands in front of people and teaches them, and in some sense presumes to have wisdom and knowledge. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. That's what we're going to look at today. It's a little bit less surprising. Of course, you think you're the good shepherd. You're giving us good stuff. You're taking care of us. You know what? Everybody says that, right? I mean, every politician that you've ever had a chance to vote for has tried to tell you they are a good shepherd, right? Oh yeah, we'll take care of you. Count on us. Everybody says that. Do they all do that? Again, I'm not asking for names or anything like that, but no, very few actually end up doing that. And then you look at the statistics of personal gain from being in office. That happens most of the time. And you begin to scratch your head about that. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. Not only is Jesus the door to life, he is the one who will lead us to life. This is still a bold claim. Jesus claims to do what only God can do and what God told his people he would do. And you can see that in various places in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 34, which we'll look at in just a minute. Jeremiah 31, Isaiah 40. Lots of places where God says, I will tend to my people, I will lead them in. The images call to mind Psalm 23, which we all recited together as our call to worship today. Once upon a time, I was about 12 years old. My sister was 8. And our family was visiting some family friends on the other side of the town that we lived in at the time. And my sister and I don't remember why, decided we were going to go out for an evening walk. It was a little bit dark outside, but dusky. And walking down the street, and all of a sudden we heard this snarling bark. Looked across the road, and there was a dog coming at us, and it was leaping over the little fence in these people's front yard, coming across the street toward us. I ran, my sister ran. Ran to the street corner nearby, and I jumped up on the sign pole for the street sign. Climbed up, and I remember grabbing a hold of the street sign up here, up at the top of the pole, to get away from this dog that was coming to us. And then I looked down, and my little sister was down there standing there kind of like this. And she looked at me, and I quote, Jay, what about me? And the dog was, I don't know, a few feet away from her, barking, barking, barking. At which point, I slid back down the pole, and I went and I stood by my sister. Finally doing what I should have done by reflex, but did not. Stood by my sister, at which point the dog just sort of turned away and walked back to his house, I think probably figuring that he had completed his duty, you know, to his satisfaction. And on we went. Do you ever feel like you're down here facing the dogs and your big brother Jesus has jumped up into the sky? Do you find yourself agreeing with everything you hear about Jesus, but living a life of running from one worldly signpost to the next and jumping on? Educational achievement, career advancement, community recognition, financial security, and having secured your place on that signpost, hanging on for dear life. Listen to God's word from John chapter 10, verses 10 through 21. Words of Jesus. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Let's pray. Good God, once again we ask that you would help us to see what you want us to see, that you indeed would open our eyes, that we might see you. We might see you more accurately, and that we might be drawn to you naturally and logically. I pray for that even here today, and I pray in Jesus' name, in your name, amen. But just a few notes on the images that we get here, these pastoral images. Sheep, first of all, were not fenced in and left to fend for themselves in those days. Instead, they were totally dependent on shepherds for protection, grazing, watering, shelter, and tending to injuries. In fact, sheep would not survive long without a shepherd. Sheep are not only dependent creatures, they are also singularly unintelligent, prone to wandering and unable to find their way to a sheepfold, even when it is within sight. The helplessness of sheep helps to explain the actions and qualities of a good shepherd, who in the Bible is a case study in care and compassion. It was the task of a shepherd to lead sheep from nighttime protection in a sheepfold on safe paths to places of grazing and watering. After morning grazing and watering, sheep typically lie down for several hours at midday in a shady or cool place, returning at night to the sheepfold, where the shepherd would attend to fevered or scratched sheep. To protect sheep against predators, shepherds would carry two pieces of equipment, the rod and staff of Psalm 23:4, one of them a club-like weapon, and the other the familiar crook used for protection, rescue, and placing across the backs of sheep to count them as they entered the sheepfold, a process known as the rodding of the sheep. Psalm 23, built around a typical day in the life of a shepherd, is a virtual handbook of these shepherding practices. Shepherds were thus providers, guides, protectors, and constant companions of sheep. They were also figures of authority and leadership to the animals under their care. So close is the connection between shepherds and sheep that to this day, Middle Eastern shepherds can divide flocks that have mingled at a well or during the night simply by calling their sheep, who follow their shepherd's voice. Shepherds are inseparable from flocks, and their work is demanding, solitary, and sometimes dangerous. There are four main strands in pastoral imagery in the Bible. Pastoral meaning relating to life in the countryside, meadows, sheep, shepherds. And all of these are found in Ezekiel's post-exile chapter 34 scathing indictment against Israel's human leaders. We find the image of leaders as shepherds. From Ezekiel 34, and by the way, warning, it's not a happy picture. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 6. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they are scattered, because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. We also find the picture of Israel, the chosen people, as God's flock. And that sometimes it's a positive picture, but mostly these are negative analogies. These, by the way, are good analogies. We see God's flock wandering, unwise, sacrificed, oppressed, persecuted. Then we see God as shepherd of individuals and of his people. God will supersede in the face of his people's human leaders' monumental failures. Again, from Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. And finally, we find the image of Messiah as shepherd and lamb. The sacrificial shepherd and the sacrificed lamb. Here is the anointed one of God who will prove to be what a true shepherd is supposed to be. Verse 23 from Ezekiel 34. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Who do you suppose that good shepherd is going to be? That capital D, David, who is going to come, the servant of God. Well, stay tuned. We're going to find out from his own lips. What does it mean to be a good shepherd? Listen up, pastors. I guess that means me. You guys can listen too if you want. You know where the word pastor comes from? You know what it means? Shepherd. Yeah, that's it. You could change that. I'm Shepherd J. So what does it mean to be a good shepherd? First of all, you're not like thieves. You're not actively malevolent. Those who will hurt the sheep to benefit themselves. That's not a good shepherd. Here we have a critique of Israel's leaders and priests. Like the Hasmonean politicians, the Hasmonean line that led to Herod, the Herods, all of them. Rulers capitalizing on their Jewish ancestry with Rome, but in no way trying to serve God's people. These are tragically typical examples of humans with power and without God. False shepherds, thieves who steal, kill, and destroy. Good shepherd? Not like a hired hand, who are passively malevolent, who won't hurt the sheep, but don't value them, and in no way will risk anything of their own for their sake, who run away when there is trouble. The good shepherd, actively benevolent. One who defends the sheep. One who brings abundant life to the sheep. Now, there are three relationships in our texts from Ezekiel and John, I think, to pay attention to. There is the shepherd's proper relationship to the sheep. The good shepherd stands for them, between them and danger. He values them, standing in front of his vulnerable sheep. Lays down his life for the sheep, verse 11 of John. Stays with the sheep even in danger, verse 12. Knows them and is known by them, standing with his needy sheep. Just like the Father and the Son, verses 14 and 15. He gathers them, standing near his wandering sheep. He seeks the sheep, verse 16, brings the sheep together, again, verse 16. He guides them, standing over his foolish sheep, speaks with authority to the sheep. They hear his voice and they recognize him. There is then also the shepherd's proper relationship to God. The good shepherd stands with the Father, between him and the sheep. And in that position, does the Father's will for the sheep. The good shepherd pleases God. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. How does he please the Father? By obeying him. Verse 18, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. The good shepherd says, this is what God the Father has told me to do, and so this is what I am doing. Then there's the shepherd's relationship to the thieves and hired hands. He stands against them, not among them, between them and truth and life. The good shepherd is saying, for their sake, you don't have truth. You don't have life. If you want those things, you need to come to me through me. And so the good shepherd brings division. Verse 19, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words that Jesus had spoken. He provokes opposition. Verse 20, many of them said, he has a demon. He is insane. Why listen to him? And he causes confusion. Verse 21. Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? We're having a hard time putting these things together. You guys are saying this guy's crazy and he's bad. He's from the devil. And yet he does stuff that is very good, that demons wouldn't do. What does it mean that Jesus is the good shepherd? Note, once again, we've talked about it before, this sort of scandalous particularity that Jesus brings to his saints. He didn't say, well, I'm a good shepherd. But there have been some really good shepherds. I'm one of them. No, no, no. He says, I am the good shepherd. What does this tell us about God? Jesus is the good shepherd so that Psalm 23 would be a living reality in my life and your life. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is to be seen and heard. He is the Savior for us all, but he is my Savior. He is to be followed. He is the example for us all, but he must be more than an example. He is to be followed as shepherd, not only as example. Shepherds do not serve as examples to sheep. Do you catch that? Sheep would never be able to become a real shepherd. It is beyond them. Sheep do not have seminars to determine which of the shepherd's characteristics are most worthy of emulation. Yes, Jesus is a good example to follow. But if that is all he is an example only for those who are willing and able to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, God the Son. And that's nobody other than him. He is to be affirmed and honored. He is the Lord for us all. But is he my Lord? Where is Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in your life? Once again, we have these three relationships to consider, I think. And so this is where I'm asking, I was going to tell you to imagine this, and then I said, I'm just going to put it on a board so you can actually see what I'm talking about. This upside down Y. That's what I was imagining. That's what's on the board to help us sort of understand these three important relationships that we've talked about before. Do we presume to be above Jesus in the place of God? You put Jesus in the middle here. Do we presume to be in the place of God? This may be the problem in many churches. I hope not ours. Jesus, well, he's the one we watch. He's the one we judge. He's the one we learn about, whose actions please us as we look on from a distance. The unmoved movers. We give him the thumbs up, but we don't follow him. Because we don't want to admit that we are sheep. We believe that we are smart. We believe that we are strong. More than we believe Jesus is the good shepherd. Doing this, we may be able to attest mentally to the truth of John 10, but Psalm 23 will not be a living reality in our lives. Jesus may be the good shepherd, but he will not be our good shepherd. We're doing fine by ourselves, thank you, hanging from these signposts that the world gives us, while much of the world cringes below us saying, what about us? Doing this, we may be guilty of the greatest presumption of all, taking us right back to the Garden of Eden, putting ourselves in the place of God. Maybe this is a legitimate critique the world offers the church. Why should we believe in the Jesus you guys won't follow? I remember a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. I think he was off in certain ways, but it's still something to consider. He said this, I would be interested in becoming a Christian if it weren't for the fact that I have never met one. Secondly, you might ask, do we foolishly stand in opposition to Jesus? Like the religious leaders of his day, in the place of thieves and hired hands, that's one of the other offshoots in relation to Jesus there. We need to stop opposing him and his goodwill for our lives. He is the good shepherd. Maybe you and I are thieves and robbers in his view. In any case, we are, by comparison, all sheep. Who knows what's best for us? In whom can we trust? Ourselves? That's a laugh. How powerful are we? May I suggest the image of sheep? I didn't make that one up. How many schools use this animal as a mascot?
There is no ram.
Okay, well, I'll get to that. That's not a sheep. Yeah, we're the humble sheep. Go back. I haven't heard of that. In fact, we have a college right next door to us, right? And they are the... Yeah, those ones that tear sheep to pieces, right? Okay. Yeah. Nature shows sheep in the grasp of predators, eyes glazed, minimal resistance now reduced to none. Pathetic. May I suggest we are sheep. If it's just me against evil, that evil is that wolf, and I am that sheep in the wolf's grasp with glazed eyes and no resistance. I don't think of myself that way, but Scripture seems to indicate that that may be truer than I want to admit. How smart are we? May I suggest the image of sheep? Isaiah 53:6. All we like, you've heard this. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Without the shepherd, we have little or no, probably no. Yeah, green. Our chances are slim and none, and Slim left town a long time ago. Wandering, vulnerable, foolish, needy, that's us. We need to stop opposing Jesus and then start affirming that he is our guide to life. Listen for his voice. He says you'll be able to hear it if you listen. Hard to understand how this happens? Do you suppose it is hard for sheep to understand how come they can distinguish their shepherd's voice? Are you and I like sheep? He says, we'll hear him. We say, it's hard. Who is going to prevail? Good news. Try reading his word, getting into Bible study and prayer. Let him guide you into a meaningful gathering of Christian fellowship. Maybe a small group right here as part of Covenant Presbyterian Church. Finally, do we wisely stand under Jesus? There's that other offshoot there. Under Jesus as our good shepherd, like his sheep. Do we see him between us and danger? Has he saved you? Can I get an amen? Yeah. Is he protecting you? Heart of concern. I'm going to say yes to that one too. Some of you can tell stories. Because we are so valuable to him. Amen. Does he know you? Do you know him? Is he gathering you together with others of his flock? Is he guiding you? Do you ever feel like you're down here facing the dogs and Jesus has jumped up into the sky like foolish 12-year-old brothers? Look again. Look again. That's no signpost he has jumped up on. It's the cross. Jesus is the good shepherd, so that Psalm 23 would be a living reality in my life and your life. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus Christ is not only the good shepherd, he is my good shepherd. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and so he is the good shepherd for me. I shall not want. Jesus Christ is my good shepherd, so nothing I truly need will be ever withheld from me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though the night is dark, the dogs are barking, and my friends and family are all looking out for themselves, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will live. Jesus is my good shepherd, and he came that we would have life and have it abundantly. I will live in the house of the Lord. My good shepherd will lead me home. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is the good shepherd, so that Psalm 23 would be a living reality in my life and your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for your goodness to us, your presence with us. Help us to know that we are your sheep, and that that is a good thing for us to be. Lord, help us to increase more and more in our trusting you, our willingness to follow you where you lead, even if it means trusting in ourselves a little less. We pray these things in your name and for your sake. Amen. All right, let's get ready now to share at the table of the Lord as Jesus once again feeds us as our good shepherd. Let's begin by sharing together in the Apostles' Creed. You can find it on page 845 in your hymnal, or you can look at the screen. Let's say it together. Yeah, I can stand up. That'd be great.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to the table of the Lord. The Good Shepherd is the host here at this table. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. All of you, drink it. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your promises to us, like your promise to be with us wherever two or more have gathered in your name. Lord, we are here in your name. Thank you for being with us. Lord, thank you for what you did for us, giving of yourself, the one and only necessary, once for all sacrifice in payment for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you chose to do that. You didn't have to. You just told us in John 10. You did this of your own accord. No one took it from you. You gave it. Thank you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to meet with you here with proper solemnness, but also great joy and thanksgiving. And that the things we do here would bring joy to your heart and honor to your name. And we pray this in your name. Amen. We invite our servers to come forward. And a reminder for us all that it is our tradition to share communion by coming forward down the center aisle, take a piece of bread, eat it, and then take the cup and bring it back with you to your seat, that we all might drink together as a sign of our oneness in Christ as the one flock that Jesus told people about 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Come. Thank you.
said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood.
All of you, drink of it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, once again, we give you thanks and praise for meeting with us here in your house. Lord, we thank you for helping us to remember who you are and what you've done for us. More than that, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to commune with you in this special way. And we pray that as a result, we will know ourselves to be built up for the life that we have, the challenges that are before us, the joys that we enjoy, all to your glory. Hear us now as we share in the special prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand and sing together our closing hymn, Fairest.